Well, two things we want to review. Marilyn had a question. The seven-year tribulation period, there's a battle at the end of it. It's called Harmageddon or Armageddon. That battle takes place right here at the end. We talked about the battle of Gog and Magog. Not all theologians are going to agree with what I've got to say. But I believe the battle of Gog and Magog is at the end of the thousand-year reign of Christ. Now, Gog and Magog, I want to say, are not Russia. It's not Moscow, and it's not Moscow. It's not Russia. Gog and Magog is in the Arab world, in the land of Armenia or Turkey. And that was the head of the what? The Ottoman Empire. And those nations there in the Islamic Empire, Gog and Magog. Now, we know that the devil is going to be completely incarcerated for 1,000 years. Israel will be God's administrator on this earth, possibly with the resurrected David on the throne in Jerusalem, the real Jerusalem. And, of course, Jesus is going to be with his bride and his, you know, his church and all the saved in heaven in New Jerusalem, which is quite an elaborate building. Nearly 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles. And that will be the light of the universe at that time. The earth is going to be changed. The earth will be completely reconstructed or restored or maybe made new. There, people can't agree, well, they don't know if we're going to have a new heaven and new earth, brand new creation, or a totally what we call catheterized, completely cleansed new heaven and new earth. Not everybody can agree totally on that, okay? I think it is, personally, I think it is one that's been purified. And the old one that is purified, there won't be one man-made object going to the eternal ages at all, not one man-made object. Because we're only going to be there because of grace, only by the blood of Jesus Christ, nothing else. And at the end of this time, the battle of Gog and Magog, and I think that this is coming from the Islamic Empire that was. There won't be one lost person go into the millennium. Not one. Mm-hmm. Not one. All the nations on the earth that are believers, the rapture takes place here. We got the midweek raptures. That's possible if you have a rapture here, but it's not possible if you have a rapture here. Who's going to go in the millennium if you have a rapture at the end of all to save? Mm-hmm. And no lost people are going to go in the millennium. How are they going to get there? Okay? So it could happen here, but I don't think so. I think it's here. Because the church and the church is the bride of Christ, and they're going to have a seven-year wedding in heaven. A week of years in heaven with that her groom. And then she's going to come in and cheer him on at the end of here as he slays all of the unbelievers, and only the believers will go into the eternal, or only the believers will go into the thousand-year reign of Christ. All right. And then Marilyn, did I answer your question? Mm-hmm. Now, also, Brother Ray, you talked about the figure of the language. We just described the beast as John described it in Revelation, the 13th chapter. And that is a parabolic, metaphoric allegory, hyperboles of all of this. It's not really a beast with the hands of a bear. It's not a therion, a swift-running, killing cheetah or whatever. It is not the head, the mouth of a lion and all of this that it's talking about there. That's figurative speaking. But now Muhammad hears this, and he's got to outdo Jehovah. So he begins to describe his beast. Of course, his Mahdi is going to be 40 years old like he was when he began to preach. A reluctant leader, as he supposedly was. And that this beast is going to help him, is going to come out of the sea of sands, or the sea of the desert, the desert of the sands, El Jezreel. And this beast is going to have the head of a bull, the horns of a stag, the ears of an elephant, the eyes of a pig, the neck of an ostrich, the front end of a lion, the body the color of a tiger, the tail of a ram, the rump of a cat, and the legs of a camel. And he means that. That just outdid God altogether, didn't it? So fantastic is this creature. But this is a fictional creature. That creature is going to be the Mahdi, the beast, and Yeshua, Esau, the false Christ. And what are they going to do? They're going to go forth conquering to conquer. Revelation 6 chapter, he comes out on a white horse. Islam is a peaceful religion, Condoleezza Rice says. And so did Bill Clinton, and so did George Bush. And so did, of course, Barack Obama. Islam is a peaceful religion. Peaceful. Nothing in that book would dare tell them to kill. But what did Muhammad say? He declared war on the world in the last few years of his life. Bring the whole world into Islam. There can't be but one religion in the world. Now the 14th chapter of the book of Revelation. 14th chapter of the book of Revelation, it begins with a parenthetical. It's like in parentheses. We're going to heaven. We went to hell on earth. Now we're going to heaven again. We had another parenthetical chapter just before this. Now let's go and let's see what happens in the 14th chapter. And behold, I saw and a sacrificial lamb having stood. This is a sacrificial lamb. This is our Savior. This is not that false lamb. This is not the Issa of Islam that was in the last part of the last chapter. That one that was going to go out and kill all the Jews, kill all the swine, and kill all the Christians. But this one here is the one that died for us. And behold, I saw the lamb, the sacrificial lamb, the Arnion, Brother Ray, Arnion, that sacrificial lamb. I saw the lamb was standing upon Mount Zion. Where's Mount Zion? Jerusalem. In Jerusalem. In Jerusalem. This is real Jerusalem. And with him 144,000 having the name of his father written on their foreheads. Now here we're jumping ahead. We're jumping ahead to see what's going to happen in heaven and in Jerusalem. This is like saying, here, we got all this blood and guts over here. Let's see what's going to happen in the end. Okay? Having the name of his name and his father's name written on their foreheads. And that's kind of like a brand. You go up there in Fish Lake Valley. And up in that country up there, the Hippo Ranch had a brand that was an O, just an O, just an O, zero. And the hippo was on the hip, the Hippo, Hippo Ranch, right? That O on the hip of the cattle, okay? And then every family of the cattle had their ears cut. If it had this family of these Herefords, or whatever it come from, Texas Longhorns or whatever this family was, they would cut one ear, they would cut the top of it, they cut the bottom of it, and both sides, it would show from what family they came from. And that's what the word in Genesis, or not Genesis, but Ephesians, the first chapter, it tells us that we're earmarked and branded by God. Isn't that beautiful? I don't mind being branded. I was branded this last week. My hand is all still scarred up here with a hot grease. And before that, I branded my hand with a hot skillet that I took out of the wood-burning cook stove. And the potholder slipped. We think about that. We think about being branded. I had a brand with my stepfather, Dale. I was always known as Jimmy Remling when I went to school in Fish Lake Valley. But we had a brand, R2, Remling 2. That was our brand. That was a registered brand. At one time, we branded everything. On some of my old articles, when I was Mustang, you'll still see R2 on. my little radio that my grandmother gave me, it's got R2 on it, mm-hmm. that brand. I'm going to be very happy for God to brand me because he already has. And I don't mind if he puts his name on me anytime he wants to, indelibly. That is praise and glory. Mm-hmm. Many of the slaves of old loved their masters so much that they didn't mind wearing their brands. They were proud of their masters. Proud of our Savior. And I heard a voice from heaven like the sound of many waters, like the sound of loud thunder. And the voice which I heard was like the sound of a harpist playing on harps. Now, Brother Vincent, you're a musician. You can play the piano, you can play that guitar, or I don't know how many instruments you can play. But right here, what you just heard, now, what kind of speakers do you have? You have trebles? You have mid-range and you have bass, don't you? That's what it's talking about. We got tremendous bass, we got trebles, and we've got mid-range here. This is the sound you got here coming from heaven. Trebles, mids, and high-pitched. And I heard the voice of heaven like the sound of many waters. Have you ever heard waters? Waters have all kinds of sound. You can listen to the water down on the creek there where I live. In Nevada, and you'll hear bass sounds, you'll hear treble sounds, you'll hear mid-range sounds in that water, according to how it's splashing across the rocks. And the sound of loud thunder. Thunder is the sound of what? Right, bass sound. Mm-hmm. Boom, boom, boom. And the voice I heard was like the sound of a harp. What a harp! How many strings does a harp have on it? Like 88 strings? Like a, just like a piano? And you go from bass to treble sounds, to highs and lows. All the sounds made in heaven and above. And I tell you what, my hearing is getting really bad. Almost as bad as yours, Marilyn. I think I'm going to have to start wearing my ear lace. Maybe she'll wear hers if I wear mine. Going up and down here every day, you know, coming and going back and forth, up and down this mountain, from sea level down here to 4,000 feet, and then up and down up there. When I'm up there solidly, it doesn't bother me, but my ears are always popping, and when they're stopped up, I can't hear anything almost, especially bass sounds. It just doesn't happen. But we're going to hear sounds that we never thought we could hear. I remember when we went to my wife and I had so many arguments over her hearing. And I told her, I said, I'm going to go to the hearing doctor. Will you go to the hearing doctor? No, I don't need it. And I took her to the hearing doctor. We both had our hearing test done the same day. And the doctor came in there and he told Marilyn, he said, your husband is stone deaf. I don't know how he communicates, but he does have a real good communication level. I don't know how he does it. And she said, and then he said, well, how's my hearing? He said, I haven't looked at it yet. Well, he got an F minus and you got a D minus, but really hers was worse than mine. I saw the report. I was functional. Hearing. We're going to be got our hearing fixed, Marilyn. We can hear sounds we never heard before. Now, I'm this wild, savage Indian, so when I get up in the woods, I get up here and get walking around, I hear things that nobody else here is doing, Marilyn. Mm-hmm. Even my kids go up there and they says, I said, you hear that? What? I didn't hear anything. I said, you hear that? Listen. Listen. Like that. Now, I've taken you up there in the woods, up in those mountains. It's quiet, isn't it? Isn't it quiet, Marilyn? Mm-hmm. You get up there. Have you ever been someplace so quiet, Vincent, that you could hear the blood going through your ears? Sharon? You will do that every time. At nighttime, we lay in bed up there, and I can hear the blood going shh, 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 shh through my ears. Gary got up there one time, and it was so quiet up there, he walked up above. He stayed with me a lot in Fish Lake Valley. He went up there and walked up there right above, right out on a plateau by Patterson Creek, and he came back real fast. Came back and he looked at me real, and I could see for fear in him. I said, what's the matter, Gary? He said, I'm afraid. I don't know why I'm afraid. He said, I got up there and it's so quiet, my ears will go shh, shh, shh. And I go like this, and they're still going shoo, shoo, shoo. And he said, I come down here, and they're going shoo, 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 real fast, you know, as the heart beating. He said, it's too quiet. It's too quiet. It's scary quiet. Remember, in heaven, it's going to be silence. Remember silence in heaven? That silence is going to be scary. Let's go on. Now, here we have a lot of joyful noises in heaven. Joyful noises in heaven. And they sang a new song before the throne and before the four living beings and the elders. And no one could learn the song except the 144,000 who had been purchased from the earth. Now, who is this 144,000, Sharon? You know?
They were the Jewish.
They were the Jewish 12 tribes of Israel. Yeah. Now, this is when they get to go to heaven. This is it. Look at this. They've been purchased of God. How were they purchased? With the blood of the Savior that they demanded. Let His blood be upon us and our people. Brother Ray, one of the questions you had yesterday when you were being grilled and interrogated was, do you believe that Israel has a future in the economy of God's kingdom?
Yes, sir.
Absolutely. They're going to be the administrators of God's kingdom for 1,000 years upon this earth because of two irrevocable, two unconditional covenants, the Davidic covenant and the Abrahamic covenant. Let's go on. And that's being fulfilled right here. It's fulfilled.
Now, I have a question on that.
Yes.
Okay, when I was looking up those, because I already knew about those two covenants, they're still incomplete.
Yes.
Okay, so you got the Abrahamic covenant.
Yes.
Okay, and I have written down, and I don't know if I was correct on that, that he promised Abraham one of his descendants would sit on the throne. But then it was David, he gave him that
David, that his son was going to be on the throne. Abraham, he gave the land to.
Okay, now.
And they never had the land.
I was looking at the Palestinian covenant.
Mm-hmm.
That still needs to be fulfilled.
Yeah, all of that, we don't have a map up here, do we? All of that whole area, the globe, all this whole Middle East, somewhere over here, all this whole Middle East, from the Nile River, all the way over, Saudi Arabia, Turkey, all of this area right in here, this is all going to be Israel's land. And it's going to be literal. And the earth is going to be changed, and it's going to be cleansed right then, and totally cleaned up. And for 1,000 years. Now let's go on and look. The four living beings and the elders. No one could learn the song except 144,000 who had been purchased from the earth. These are the ones who have not defiled themselves with a false religion. It says women there, but that women is a figure of speech. That's false religion. That's not women. And for they have kept themselves chaste. They've kept themselves virgins. And these are the ones who follow the Lamb. These are the nation of Israel that follow their Messiah. They say, where did you get the wounds in your hand and in your side and in your feet? And he said, in the house, my friends, and they will wail as one wails for his only begotten son, because they are the ones that did it. Mm-hmm. These are the ones that follow the Lamb wherever he goes. And these have been purchased from among men as the first fruits of God to the Lamb. And no lie was found in their mouth, and they are blameless. When Israel brought the charges to Pontius Pilate at the Praetorium, they were all fabrications and lies. Now, according to Jewish law, and Pontius Pilate made them aware of that, you've broken all the rules, people. You've broken all of your own rules. He said, you take him and try him with your own law. You're breaking all the Roman rules. You're breaking your own rules. What am I going to do with you people? And remember, in the Sanhedrin, when Jethro told Moses how to set aside the Sanhedrin, he said, find men that can't be bought with perjury. Find men that don't have malice. Find men that what? That are true in reputation. and honest. They can't be bought. And yet, what did they bring? They had paid false witness, perjurers.
Right.
They tried Jesus with perjury. Now, according to the Mosaic law, if you brought somebody condemned them and accused them of a crime, whatever crime, the penalty of that crime was, if the person that was found innocent, then the person that committed perjury would be crucified or stoned, strangled, burned, or whatever. That was a penalty of that law. And Pontius Pilate says, I find no guilt in him. You are guilty. I'm washing my hands. I am innocent of this man's blood. And they said, let his blood be upon us and our children. And it was. And they demanded his death. Now, no lie was found in their mouth, and they are blameless. Now we have a vision of the angel with the gospel. And we're not talking about a gospel, as many of the writers translate this. And I saw another angel flying in the mid heaven, having an eternal gospel. That word "an" is an indefinite article. It's not there. He's got the eternal gospel. It is not an eternal gospel. Muhammad said he had a gospel. I tell you what's not the gospel of God. Cardinal Sheridan Armstrong and Herbert Armstrong said the gospel hadn't been preached for 1,800 years before they preached it. Why, it had been preached all down through the ages, the only gospel, the eternal gospel. And the gospel that these angels will be preaching flying through heaven is because the church is gone. The church is the administrator of God's kingdom in the world today. Remember Brother Ray yesterday, I said, would you give me a difference with the church, the family of God, and the kingdom? Yeah, there's a difference. During this period of time, the administration of God's kingdom has been taken away with the administrator, the church, and the one that was giving them the unction. As you laid here with your hands laid upon you yesterday, you had an unction that you never had before in your life. Mm-hmm. Men of God laying their hands upon you and placing upon you and distributing to you the graces that God had been given, that had been given to them, and I gave you all of mine. It's all yours. Let you increase, let me decrease. I'm at the end. I'm at that with all my heart.
Yeah, I heard that.
They're anointed, these angels are. Anointed ones. The eternal gospel. Preach to those who live on the earth and to every nation, every tribe and tongue and people. And he said with a loud voice, fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and the springs of waters. Worship him. Now, this is a preview of coming attractions. And we see things as if it happened, but it shall be happened. Now, the Hebrew has a while consecutive perfect tense, doesn't it? While consecutive perfect. And that means future perfect. Future perfect. So what we're doing here, we're talking of future perfect. We're looking at this as if it already happened. Because in the mind of God, in the economy of God, as God looks down from eternity to eternity and looks through time, he can see things as they are, as they have been, and as they will be from now on. Another angel, the second one following, said, fallen is Babylon the Great. And we're not talking about Rome here. We're not talking about New York City. Where is Babylon?
Between your Euphrates and the
Tigris. That's right. That's where it is, over there. It really means Babylon, people. It really means the Islamic world. All the Islamic world now has been united by what? By a Mahdi. The guided one. The guided one. Babylon the Great, she has made all the nations drink of the wine of the passion of her immorality. Of the passion of her immorality. What is that? Sharia. Sharia. Let me just tell you a little bit of things about Sharia. Sharia law. Psychologists say that Muhammad was an obsessive compulsive disordered person. And this disorder caused him to want to control every avenue, every moment of his followers' lives. When you get up in the morning, if you're a Muslim man, you know what you do, Brother Benson? You go in the bathroom or wherever, you go there in the water closet, and you get some water, and you take that water, and you snuff it up in your nose, and you blow your nose 3 times. You know why? Because all night long, jinns and devils have been in your sinuses, so you got to get rid of them. There's 70 different laws of how you go to the bathroom. Rules. Every rule. There's rules for how you make love to your wife. You got to follow those rules. Now, don't make friends of kafar. But if you make friends with kafars, you smile in their faces and curse them behind their back. Thou shalt not kill those that are prohibited, but only for a just cause. You see all of these things. You shall not lie. You shall not lie unless it is for the furtherance of Islam. The Bible says don't lie, don't steal, don't cheat, don't do all of these things. Don't kill. It means that, doesn't it? But with Muhammad, there's always a but. For a just cause. There are no real rules. But. The passion of immorality. I was on the radio one day and a guy came in there and I said, I read the Holy Quran. I said, oh yeah. What's holy about it? What's holy about it? The Quran is a series of messages that Allah is supposed to send down to Muhammad when he is having problems. He named some people that he was contemporaries with. They were really absolutely elaborately joyed to hear their names and this, that Allah would speak their names. Mm-hmm. But when somebody accused him of not performing miracles and different things, for instance, when he was forced to leave Mecca, he went to Medina. He made a covenant with those Jews that lived there that they would live coexistent, and they made a hudnah, a covenant, a contract with them. And as soon as he became powerful enough, he turned on them. He left his family, and how is Muhammad going to support his group of followers? You know how he did that? His family were the Quraysh. And the Quraysh lived in Mecca, and they controlled all of Mecca and all of the religious worship. And they people paid taxes, money, and everything else. And that's how they lived. And they had trade. And so they would take the hides that were tanning from all those camels they were killing. And the different dyes and stuff. And they'd have camel caravans. And they'd carry slaves back and forth. Muhammad said, well, we're going to support our religion by going and killing them. And robbing them. All about in the 40 thieves, you know. And so he went out and robbed and killed and killed and killed. Well, one time he sent his people out, and in the pre-Muslim world, there were 4 sacred months in the polytheists, that's what they called them. 4 sacred months of what they didn't kill each other. They had a good enough sense to say, well, you know what? If we can kill each other 12 months a year, we can't ever have any rest. So they had four sacred months that they didn't kill each other. Those sacred months that you couldn't do war, you couldn't kill, you could go back and forth to the Kaaba, and you can go worship whatever god you had, and you would be safe. And so Muhammad sent his warriors after this, the Quraysh. They were had a lot of money. They'd been trading, and they got them on the way back, and they were on the way back, and they saw them. They're getting closer and closer to Mecca. And it was during one of these sacred months. They said, what are we going to do? If we let them get back home and get into safety, we'll have no booty. And we'll go back into Hampton to Muhammad. What are we going to do? Well, they decided to attack him, and they took all the spoils back, all the booty back to Muhammad, and laid it all out there, his percentage of it. He said, I didn't tell you to attack them during the sacred months. And he wouldn't accept any of it for a while. And then he got another revelation. That, you know, these all buts. Situation, ethics, what you might call it, whatever you want to call it. And he says, persecution is worse than slaughter. That's what Allah told him. So now it's okay to slaughter because they're persecuting you. They persecuted you. They ran you out of Mecca. And so it's all right for you to slaughter them. So persecution is worse than slaughter. So it's okay. Give me the money. Give me the booty. This happened. This is history. You can read that in The Life of Muhammad by Ibn Ishiq. All right, now we got another angel. And another angel, a third one, followed them, saying a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image and receives the mark on the forehead or upon his right side, literally. And what is that mark, according to Islam? What is the mark that the beast is going to put all under all true believers? There is no God but Allah. He has no companion. And Muhammad is his messenger. A man-made religion. 666. He will also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is mixed in full strength in the cup of his anger. Remember? What I told you, the whole, from about the chapter 4 on, is Islam versus Jehovah. Islam versus Jehovah's prophets. Now, let me say this also. No prophet of God in the Old Testament or in the New Testament ever magnified themselves, did they? What did Apostle Paul say about himself? I'm worse. I'm a terrible sinner. Then he said, I'm a terrible sinner. I'm worse than all men because I persecuted the church of God. I murdered them. Peter told Jesus one time, depart from me, I'm a sinful man. Jeremiah, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Joel, all these guys all magnified God, didn't they? Muhammad magnified Muhammad. Muhammad magnified Muhammad. Even the confession of faith has got Muhammad's name in it, doesn't it? Muhammad's God of his imagination is the God of this revelation. Right here. This is his God. And this God is the God of the great dragon. He has also drank of the wrath of God, which is mixed. Literally, which is not mixed at all, which is concentrated. Have you ever buy concentrated orange juice? What else can you get concentrated? Concentrated soup, a different kind. You're not supposed to eat stuff because it's real strong, isn't it? You ever tried to drink concentrated orange juice? A little rough. Strong. But it says the wrath of God's wrath, the wine of his wrath, is concentrated, not mixed. It is not diluted. In full strength in the cup of his anger, and he will be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and the presence of the Lamb. everyone who has taken the mark of this beast. Now, in the Bible, the mark of the beast is a mark of damnation. In the Quran, the Sunnahs, and the Hadith, the mark of the beast is a mark of accreditation. Because you have believed in Allah. There is no God but Allah, and He has no companion, and Muhammad is His prophet. That's fidelity, not infidelity. And the Bible is called what? Blasphemy. The Bible says you take that, you're going to burn in hell. This is what it says right here. Muhammad said, when you take that, you shall be glorified. And if you die in jihad, the only way you're going to get directly to heaven, you will have immediately 72 virgins. And I'm bringing a lot of this stuff to you. This is kind of crude, what Muhammad said, but this is Muhammad's mind. They're going to be Ziploc virgins. They're going to be virgins every day. You deflower them, and tomorrow they're a virgin, you can deflower them again. That's what he said. And if you die in jihad, that you have the power of a stallion to take care of all these virgins. And not only that, but you'll be the confessor, you will be the intercessor for 70 of your family. You get to take 70 of your family, whoever you choose to take with you. But that's not what the Bible says, is it? There's only one intercessor between God and man, and that is Jesus Christ. And the smoke of their torment goes up for how long? Forever and ever. Eon, Tony, Eon, Tony, Eon. And they have no rest day and night. And those who worship the what? The beast. Now, everybody in Islam wants the mark of the beast. Did you know that?
Yeah.
They want it. I remember I talked to several ex-Muslims. They wanted the mark of the beast. That was good. Now they're reading the Bible, it's bad. When that missionary, I can't think of his name right now, went to Africa. And Africa, you know, was a Christian nation at one time, and then it became a Muslim nation because of conquest. And he talked and talked and talked to people there trying to convert them. And there was one woman that was very attentive. And he gave her a Bible, and she was a Muslim, and he gave her a Bible. Now, the Quran begins with a back page, just like the Hebrew Bible. It starts on the back and goes forward. So guess what the first book that woman read in the Bible was?
Revelation.
Book of Revelation. And she realized that the religion she had been serving was in direct opposition to this Bible. And everything that was good in the Quran was bad in the Bible. Everything was bad in the Bible was good in the Quran. And she became the first Christian. So she read the book of Revelation. That book ought to condemn what they do. But of course, you know, now they say, oh, you can't believe anything in the Bible because it's corrupted. It's corrupted. The Bible's so corrupted you can't believe anything in it. Yes, the Bible has been corrupted. It's called the Quran. All the stories of the Bible have been taken out and scrambled and stuck in these so-called revelations. You know, when Moses went up on Mount Sinai and he came back down, Muhammad don't say anything about the law at all. But when he came back down, you know what happened? That with Aaron and all them, really wasn't Aaron. You know who it was? The Samaritans. The Samaritans have caused the people to worship this calf, this golden calf. The Samaritans. The Samaritans didn't exist yet, did they? That was after the Assyrian captivity. That was many years later, but that's what he thought, because he couldn't figure out from one end of the Bible to the other. He didn't have this God plan in the ages. The Samaritans is what caused them to worship that golden calf.
See, that's screwed up chronology.
Yeah. He has Pharaoh believing one time and Pharaoh being drowned the next time. He writes a lot about Pharaoh. He writes a lot about Moses. He writes about Solomon. And he writes about David. You know how Solomon, now he said Solomon was a great warrior. The Bible says Solomon was a king of peace. He's a type of the millennial reign of Christ. Right. He didn't have to go out and conquer anybody. David had already done it. But you know who told him how to conquer? You know how Muhammad, you know how that Solomon knew how to conquer? He stuck his ear down and he listened to the ants tell him. The ants told him how to do it. Yeah. What an imagination. And the smoke of their tent torment goes up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night. And those who worship the beast and the image, and whoever receives the mark of his name, the mark of his authority. What is that authority? There is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his messenger. And here is the preservation of the saints. What do saints mean, Marilyn?
Saints?
Yes, saints. Saints. What do saints mean? Sharon, you remember what saints mean?
Not of earth.
Not of earth. Oh, not those, of earth. Those born of heaven, not of earth. Who guard the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write, blessed are those, the dead, who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit. Now we jump down to earth. Now we're going back down to the garbage pit of humanity down there with a battlefield and hell on earth turned loose. That they may rest from their labors, for their deeds will follow them. Now look at the very future. And by the way, some of those tribulation saints are going to have a lot of rewards. Did you know that? They have some pretty great rewards that we saw in some previous chapters. They will rest from their labors, and their deeds will follow them. Now let's look it out in the 14th verse. And I look, and behold, a white cloud, and sitting on the white cloud was one like the Son of Man, having a golden crown on his head and a sharp sickle in his hand. Every time I look out there, Brother A, and I look at your yard out there, I can see you've been mowing it down with a sickle. Oh, it may be an automatic sickle underneath that lawnmower, but it's been mowed down.
A four-wheel drive sickle.
Huh? Yeah. I see it looks like it's been taken down with a sickle. The sickle they had there is a one single sickle.
Mm-hmm.
And another angel come out of the temple, crying out with a loud voice to him who sat upon the cloud, put in your sickle and reap. And because the hour to reap has come, because the harvest of the earth is ripe. Now remember what's going to happen according to the parable of the tares and all of this?
Mm-hmm.
All the tares are going to be gathered up and put in bundles and set on fire. That's what it's talking about. The time and the hour to reap has come because the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he who sat on the cloud swung his sickle over the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out from the temple which is in heaven, and he also had a sharp sickle. Then another angel, the one who has power over fire, came out from the altar. And he called with a loud voice to him who had the sharp sickle, put in your sharp sickle and gather the clusters from the vine of the earth. Kanamatos tesan blu, because her grapes are ripe. And the angel swung his sickle to the earth and gathered the clusters from the vine of the earth. Now what all is this symbolic? This is metaphors. This is allegories. This is parabolic teaching in it. We don't have somebody up there with a sickle. We have somebody up there saying, let it be, let it be done, let it be done, let it be done. And from the vine of the earth, and threw them into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden outside the city, and the blood came out of the winepress up to the horses' bridles for a distance of 200 miles. This is what we've heard for so many years, isn't it? This was what became famous all over the world, the river of blood.
Mm-hmm.
Now the horses that are in this a horse is about that tall usually, and that's her withers, and out goes her head, and out below is the bridle.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, blood in that area, there's going to be a river of blood about that deep.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of blood, people. Now, I believe this is really going to happen. How many people are in this war, in this army? Who is the only army in the world that can muster this many people? How many Muslims are in the world today? 2.2 to 2.5 million, billion that is. And this army is going to be 200 million. Do you think they have any trouble getting 200 million people to fight this war? Especially when they got a Mahdi leading them? No. And their blood is going to run from Bozra to Edom. Literally. Bozra to Edom. Right down that, this is that, it's going to split and go right down that valley, Marilyn. This battlefield is not created yet, by the way. It's going to be created here by that great earthquake. Terrible time. Terrible times on earth. In heaven, what's going on, Brother Ray?
Yeah.
We're going to be listening to good music.
Well,
yeah, mids, trebles, and basses. Beautiful music. Down on the earth, we're going to hear the screams of death. We're going to smell burning flesh. They're going to smell blood. Have you ever smelled blood?
Mm-hmm.
Can you smell blood? I can smell blood real easy. If you've ever been to a slaughterhouse, boy, you can smell blood. It smells for miles and miles.
I remember one time
a long time ago, Billy Bowles and I, I converted him out of Garner Ted Armstrong and Herbert Armstrong Worldwide Church of God. But the Holy Spirit actually did it. Anyway, Billy and I took a vacation. We went over to the coast. We went out on Pismo Pier. And there was a slaughterhouse out there by us where Danny Harwell used to work. What was the name of that slaughterhouse, Marilyn, over there in Greenfield?
Slaughterhouse where?
Out there in Greenfield. We went by it a couple times. It used to be a slaughterhouse.
Well, there was one called Kern, and then there was a Rudnitz.
Yeah, well, anyway, there was a slaughterhouse out there.
Yeah.
Kern Packing or something. I can't remember what it was.
My uncle worked there.
Yeah. Yeri Harwell's brother worked there. These guys out there, where they slaughtering all these cattle and pigs, they got buckets of blood. And they were steel buckets back then. They were made out of metal, steel. They put blood in them, and the blood coagulated. And they put rocks in those buckets before they put the blood in them. And we went out on Pismo Pier, and these boys came out there that night, and they put rocks, there's rocks in these buckets, real heavy rocks in there, and the blood in it. They knocked holes in the side of it with an ice pick, or not an ice pick, but a pick that you chip with, a chip hammer that you do welding with. And they threw them over the pier, and we started catching sharks. Sharks, sharks. I caught 40 sharks that night. That blood. Those sharks could smell that blood for miles. And that look down there off of that pier in those lights, and you saw sharks working alive in that water. You could throw your line out there, and just immediately you hooked a shark. And to get them up off of that pier, like it's 20 feet down there, they had these great big treble hooks with lead on them. And we'd reach down on these lines and hook them into the shark and pull them up on the pier. That pier was covered with sharks that night. Just covered with sharks. Sharks everywhere. When I think about this place and all that blood, I think about those sharks out there. You know what this blood's going to call? It's all those birds in heaven says, God, come, come to the feast of God. You know, they're scavengers. There's garbage disposals.
Mm-hmm.
And there will be. And there will be blood in that river of blood, 200 miles long, that deep. Do you want to see that people out there? You want to be part of that? Do you want to be part of that, Brother Ray?
No.
Sharon?
No.
How about you, Brother Vincent? You want to be part of it? Carol, are you just relishing to be there? Marilyn?
I've smelled chicken that I've killed.
Yeah.
25 in one day.
Yeah. Blood is a nasty smell.
Mm-mm.
Blood for 200 miles. Well, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ when that rapture comes, you're going to get a taste of this. This is going to be your daily habit. Murder and mayhem. That's going to be it. Brother Vincent, what song do we have?
515.
16?
Yeah.
All right, it's right up there. If I just knew how to read.
Read my writing.
Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb of Jesus Christ? That blood doesn't stink. That's pure. That's holy blood. Because it's the blood of the divine Son of God. If you're not, you need to do that. If you are saved, you need to serve the Lord the best you can where you are. And let God use you to be a messenger. A warning to people all over the world. Because we're facing this war. We're in a war that we won't want. I don't want it. We're in a war that we don't want. But we must preach the truth. Our Heavenly Father, we send your word out this moment. Father, I pray that it reaches people all over the world. From Australia to Texas to Oklahoma to New York to Japan, India, Africa, and the Middle East. I cannot believe how many downloads we had from the Middle East last month. It was just like they were all listening there. And Father, I know that you're guiding them. Please send your Spirit at this time and convict them of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. Help them to come to the saving knowledge of your Son, that he's not something evil, but that not a shirk, but a blessing that you've given. We know that Muhammad asked just people to die for him, and you died for us. You sent your Son to die for us, that we might have eternal life. That you already have paid the price. We have nothing to offer but your blood. Father, forgive us for we fail you. Forgive me. Guide us in your truth and in your word. Forgive us. In Jesus' name we pray.